What if I told you you could be anywhere you want to be in just 3 years? It's true. By staying hyper-focused on your goals and purpose, you can make your vision a reality in just a few short years or even sooner. The trick is, you have to build the routine that will support you in getting there. The good news, we've already done the hard part for you. We created a free 5-minute morning routine tailored specifically to you. It's delivered straight to your inbox each morning, is designed to help you supercharge your mornings with clarity, focus, and inspiration. By committing to this 5-minute routine daily, you'll create total clarity on your purpose and goals, inspiration to help you build a lasting habit, and the life that you want in just 3 years. The best part, this tool is totally free. No strings attached, just valuable resources to help your inner and outer growth. So if you're looking for a short, easy morning routine that will help you, one, stay laser focused on your vision you have for your life, and two, help you make progress towards that vision every single day, head to adamhergenrother.com/future or visit the link in the show notes to create your future self today. I'm Adam Hergenrother, and this is Business Meets Spirituality. We believe in personal growth through business success. And I realize I'm talking
very loudly.
Excessively loud and fast right there.
Yeah, it's just been kind of one of those days for you. I feel like you've been a little bit intense.
Up. Past couple days, I've actually been pretty amped up.
And well, I didn't see you yesterday.
It's more of a relaxed application of power.
But maybe I don't know if I see the relaxed part so much right now.
I know. I feel it's like a, it's just like a, this, you know, when you see things clearly, but you know, you're asking about my phone because I broke my phone mountain biking and of course my arm.
Yeah.
Actually, it was funny because you know what I did?
You didn't break your arm.
I didn't break my arm. a bunch of skin fell off it though. But like I was mountain biking and it was so pretty over the weekend up in the spot I was at. And I always do this. There's a section in Adam's Camp in Stowe. That's like bridge jumps. You jump a bridge and you go up and it's like this very long, I can show you a picture of it so you can see, but obviously listeners can't, like, and it comes up and it's like a 90, it's like vertical, so vertical line, but you have enough speed coming into it that it keeps you up high on the ramp that's built. It's like this big, huge kind of process thing. Anyways, I can show it to you, but you don't necessarily see it. But anyways, this is a big thing.
I mean, I can imagine what it looks like.
So I paused to take a picture of this whole thing because it was so beautiful. But what happened is I realized that I stopped my momentum. So I didn't have the same speed coming into it. And so when I went up on that wall, it just, my whole bike fell out because there was no, like,
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, there was no, you know, like when you like a Gravitron, it keeps the speed up there. And usually you come in through that whole thing, you do it as a whole section.
Yeah.
But I stopped this
one
section.
I mean, it's not really funny, but it's kind of funny.
Then all of a sudden I went like this and the bike just slipped out when I fell on that and it scraped my whole arm like 6 feet down on the thing and that whole stuff. But it was there. But last time we were on the podcast, you mentioned something that I wanted to talk about, which was free will. And the way you framed that.
About the fact that, you know, if one thing, it's kind of like almost like the butterfly effect almost too, kind of. But yeah, like if one thing happened 200 years ago and that's how it, why you were born today, is that just destiny? Are people destined to meet and, you know, destined to live in certain places or is it free will?
Yeah. You know, and I don't claim to be right on this. I think it's just a wonderful conversation and share some insights, kind of how I see this. Cause I've been thinking a lot about free will and just in terms of just, as it relates to kind of spirituality, which last time we talked about spirituality being more centered by yourself. And I started thinking like, but do we actually really have free will? And in one essence, of course we have free will. Like you can make decision to cut your fingernails. You can make decision to go eat somewhere. You can make decision to get in a relationship. So there seems like there's like this whole part of you that has all of this free will that you're able to do. And then there's another conversation. You could say you have the free will and why you have willpower. I guess it's different than free will. I guess willpower is probably different.
Well, why don't we give the definition of free will?
All right, go ahead.
So in philosophy and science, it's the supposed power or capacity of humans to make decisions or perform actions independently of any prior event or state of the universe.
Yeah. And so there's an essence of, like, is there a deeper truth to this? And that's my question. Let me just go for a second. There's so much you could say, oh, of course we have free will. Like I can decide tomorrow to go out and do this and go for a run. Like
we decided to do a podcast about free will.
Exactly. Like there's this whole free will concept, but then there's this whole underlying thing though, which is more of like, why does any human do what they do. And that's because there's some sort of either inspiration, motivation, or egoic level of insight that gets them to go do, take some level of action. And where does that come from? Is that actually, you see what I'm saying? Like,
I do, because this says it's independent of any prior event or state of the universe. And I think what you're saying and what we've talked about before,
is it independent?
Is the fact that samskaras, those are prior events or states of the universe that we've stored and do affect our decision making.
In almost every single thing that you do.
I am a big proponent of the fact that I do have free will, because I don't like to believe otherwise, but I don't know.
I don't know what the answer is. If the samskaras drive people's lives, right? And let's just, I'm going to give you two different examples here. The first one being like samskaras. And again, for as a reminder, samskara is just a stored energy pattern or something that's happened, some event that has happened in your life that you either didn't want to happen again, or you're trying to avoid, or something that happened that you love that you're trying to make more of. Like, I loved making money. Great. Now I got to go make more money, right? Something along those lines, right? I got, you know, it's just some egoic pattern that you're trying to do something different or holding on to it, right? So you have this kind of these stored energy patterns that are there that are then now guiding your life, because that narration of that voice. So there's that voice inside your head that's telling you, when you don't feel, when you get disturbed, that voice comes in and goes, oh man, you should just go, you know what? Quit that job. Just go work over there. It's going to be so much better. And then you follow that and you go, see, I have this free will and I've made this decision to go work for this company over here. I'm going, well, did you actually make that? Yes. Or were you just paying attention to that? And there's truths to both of it, though. That's the thing that I'm saying. Like, there is an argument to make on each level of that. In one essence, yes, you actually made the decision. You actually made the decision to do it. But was it guided?
Sure.
From something else that is telling you that, but that you're so glued to that you don't, it feels like free will, but it's not.
I think that there's that whole thing about the guidance thing is absolutely true. Like, but at the end of the, but I believe that you are still choosing. Yeah,
but until
whether
you wake up, is it actually free will or not?
Yes.
Is it?
I think
in one definition,
you're still you're still choosing to whether or not even you act that, on the guidance.
So the even though that voice is in your head, right? Mm-hmm. And it's basically saying, okay, you know, go do this or go do that, or you need to go do this.
Correct.
You
but you can either act on it or not.
Yeah. And I guess my question
is, that's the free will.
And I guess, so it's great. So part of that is I think people think they have free will or making free decisions. And I think the majority of them are not actually free will. I think it's free will to make decisions. They don't realize, though,
how much they're being influenced by other factors.
Or the fact that the voice or the egoic level is actually telling them what to do, why they need to go do it, and they're actually acting that out. And that is the definition of being unconscious, which is that.
But it's still free will.
Yeah. I mean, again, I guess one could argue, though, that, like, you're not there. So, like, is it free? That's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't.
Well, I guess I.
I'm not trying to get to an answer. Yeah. I'm just trying to actually propose a debate so people can actually do their own self inquiry.
I was re-listening to Green Lights because I just felt like listening to it because it's
good book.
So good.
It is,
and it's not that one of the things that he was saying. I think in one of the villages he was visiting in the Amazon.
Yeah,
was,
he rode down naked on like the.
Yeah, yeah. It's not whether or not you're right or wrong. It's do you understand?
Yes, that's,
you're trying,
that's true.
We're just trying to get to.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to because I don't think I don't. The point of anybody believing you or me or not believing you or me is irrelevant. It's all about the self inquiry, because that's kind of what goes on. I'm like, well, hold on. If I'm paying it, like, as you meditate more, I guess just be more meditative, meaning you're paying attention to mindfulness more. You start to see that voice and you're going, man, I've been following that all along. I've been thinking of having free will. But the reality is I get what you're saying, and I'm gonna actually go one step deeper in a second. But like, I get that, like, yes, you're deciding to pay attention to it. So there it is. You're still free will that you're paying attention to, right? Because you are, you're paying attention to it. So it's like, you're saying I could choose not to listen to the thought or listen to the thought, but if you're so glued to it, it's really a false sense of free will.
But free will is about making decisions and actions. It's not about thinking necessarily.
No, but the thinking creates the action. So if somebody says, oh, like, I can't believe Hallie said that to you, and you start getting pissed and you go and punch something.
You had a choice whether or not you wanted to punch something.
Did you, though?
Yes, I 100% believe that you did.
There was a moment that you had a choice.
You always have a choice.
Yes, there's a moment, and that's where actually I think Michael Singer, we're talking a lot about him lately, but I've heard him say this before, that willpower, so it's a little bit different than free will, but the willpower was designed for that one moment, and is one of the most important moments in history, where before you get so glued to the thought that you're no longer able to actually make the decision.
Right. The willpower is there to control. And that
I think is, yes, I think yourself. That is a key point of your free will, is right before that's about to happen, mm-hmm. you have the choice to engage in the mind, the egoic behavior. Mm-hmm. But once you engage it and touch it, then I believe you that you can't stop it at that point, right? Like once you go and you touch anger, for a period of time, you're now lost.
Yes, but that doesn't mean that you might make a decision from anger, but it doesn't mean that you have to act on the anger.
I think most people are. I think most people, the minute they engage with emotion, they're gone. And they don't, that's why people go.
They're gone into the emotion, but they might not like, let's just use a real.
But then they're no longer making conscious decisions, because that's what the definition of unconsciousness. And you think you're having that, like, it's again, you're like, I don't know what happened to me. I just lost it.
Potentially, but here, can we just play out a scenario and you tell me where free will comes into this or doesn't? I got an email not that long ago that I was incredibly triggered by, and I would venture to say that I probably was angry. I was a little bit annoyed. I was definitely annoyed and a little bit pissed off. I did not act on that.
Yes.
Yes, internally I was experiencing and let that emotion control me, if you want to say that. But I did not make a decision or perform any action based on that feeling of anger and annoyance.
Yeah, and that's because of all the work that you've done on yourself.
And to me, that's free will.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I don't call it whatever you want for a second. Let's put a placeholder what we call it. That is a great, by the way, I'm just going to say, like, give you kudos for that. That is a great definition of the experience came in, it triggered you. Fine, you experience it. Like, you don't, like, the email came in, it triggered you. Mm-hmm. But you had enough consciousness, the ability to see it, that it was bothering you, and not actually engaging with it at the moment. You actually let you let the experience come in. That is the definition of actually, like, working on yourself. That is personal growth, by the way.
Yes.
Is in that, and that's the personal growth is 3 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever it was, if that had came in there, it may have wrecked your day for 3 or 4 days. I'm mm-hmm. just paraphrasing, but right. maybe it would have, right? To a certain right. degree.
Sure, yeah.
But now you're able to see the experience, you feel the experience, it's not there, and then you're able to actually solve the problem or whatever needs to happen. That is consciousness, by the way. Because you experience it and you go, I could get engaged in this, and by the way, it would feel so good just to go rip into an email and let that know. That's the part. I would go, so the question that I would do is, let's forget about the samskara conversation. Because mm-hmm. I agree with you. At that level, there's probably, there's a truth to free will. And again, this isn't about you believing or disagreeing. This is just about you having additional self-inquiry about mindfulness and what's happening.
Right,
there,
I mean, or like fate. People do believe in fate and destiny.
Totally.
And that you don't have control over, you know, who you marry or.
Totally. You know, I forget where I read this.
Events that happen in your life.
It might even be like Gangaji or somebody. I remember reading this that like they described life as like this series of video games where like a big video game, and the video game, it's not a video game itself, but it was like, you know, when you design a software program, that's a video game, all of the patterns are already kind of dictated. Like, so if you go down this tunnel, it opens up and you have all these different ways you can go that have already been kind of decided. Mm-hmm. It's almost like this in terms of like you have the free will within a framework that's already been decided.
Potentially.
Like I'm just kind of.
I mean, I like that idea better than I like the idea of.
Well, let me go to the deeper one. So if something, let's forget about a samskara movement, which again, I think we all agreed there's a free will action there. But what most people are doing is when they engage in the voice inside their head, they're not acting from free will. I'm just going
to. I don't agree with that, but.
Okay. Hold on. It's an illusion. You are having free will to pay attention to the voice. I understand that.
And to act on the voice.
And to act on it, yes.
Yes.
Yes. So you have that element of free will. I think people are so glued to that, though, that they believe they're making the choice, but the reality is they're allowing the emotion or the voice to make the choice because they're so glued to it. You've just done enough work on there that you can actually see it clearly now differently. So there's a truth, there's a free will component to it. And then there's the component that I think you lose the ability. I guess that's a better way of saying it. Thank you. You lose the ability to have free will when you become glued to one of those emotions or thoughts because you're glued to it. Until you come out of it and you're no longer glued to it, then you can make a different decision. It's like when the minute you get into a fight with a spouse, let's just use that as an example.
I still think it's free will.
But yes, there's a truth to it, but there comes an ability when
then
you,
who else is making you do those things?
Well, just listen. Yeah. So it's like, well, the ego is, that's the whole voice is running your life. Because when you pay attention to the voice is telling you what to do. that's why when you meditate, that's why 2000 years ago, they came up with all these things because they were meditators. They sat there, and meditation doesn't mean you have to sit in a cave. That's what they did so that they could write books and give us these scripts so we can go work on ourselves. But meditate, when you meditate, you go, look at this voice inside my head all the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean TM meditation. I mean, I do that, but like, I just mean like you're walking around in a meditative state, doing your work, just paying attention to what this process is unfolding in there. This is voice and these emotions, all that stuff we talk about. So when you become glued to that, you're no longer actually making choices anymore that are on your own free will, because you're actually just you're just now following the path of a voice that's inside your head, period. And you're acting on that behalf too. So I'm not saying there's not, in that moment before, you have the willpower or free will to decide, I'm not going to engage, just like that example that you did. But once you engage with that emotion, like if you become anger for a period of time, I'll say you don't come out of it, for a period of time, you are unwilling to not be that. Like you just lose yourself in there. And then you come back and you go, holy shit, man, I can't believe I just said that to that person. Or I can't believe I wrote that email. Or I can't believe I punched that person, or whatever it is. And in that moment, it felt too good and you were too attached to it. So you lose almost the ability to have free will while you're engaged at that level. Now, they're just pause that there, because mm-hmm. we could argue that, and it's not the argument's sake. I think at every point what you're saying is accurate. So at some point when you do come back and you go, oh, I'm no longer there, then you have another opportunity to go, I'm not going to engage in that. But let me even go deeper than this. Mm-hmm. Where does that ability to use free will even come from? Because let's just say it's not coming from the mind generated stuff. Is it consciousness that's generating?
Or is it coming from the mind generated?
No, I think I've done enough.
Not the mind and the thought, like the mind as a tool place.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, the reason why I've been processing this is because like sometimes when I get this burst of inspiration, right. Mm-hmm. Or not even inspiration is a broad word. It's just like there's an insight or a movement and it's not mind generated. I'm pretty clear. I know the difference between those things right now. I'm not mm-hmm. perfect, but I know the difference between what's going on in the mind. I've just watched this process unfold until where it's like this movement within life. And so like, but even in that natural flow state of being interacting with life, and you're getting like, even when we're doing this podcast, sometimes you're not, some things you say that you don't even remember, you don't even know how you even said it. Right. Mm-hmm. Where does that come from?
So if that's, let's just say that's not free will, then what is it?
Well, it's conscious. It's the source of consciousness, but is that actually the source of consciousness? So every move is part of source of consciousness. Who's actually giving you a different, you see what I mean? Like it's like a
game.
Yeah. And it's like this whole question of, and people don't,
I do get what you're saying. Yeah.
Because they're at every level. And just, if you take that lower, deeper, and you go, well, hold on, I got moved, or my heart wanted to do it. Well, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. Like where did it come from? Something, every behavior that a human or every action that you've taken has been triggered by something. And somebody can say, well, I wasn't triggered by an event. Okay, not an event. You're triggered by an emotion. You're triggered by a thought. You're triggered by a visceral feeling. That's why we even went to the lowest level. You're triggered by some inspiration from God or inspiration from the source.
When you were talking, I was going to say, I think free will is like, you know how there's like the mind, then there's the you. I was like, okay, free will is the you. Oh, sorry. Free will comes from the ego has free will, but like the you doesn't. But I actually am thinking it may actually be the opposite,
yes.
That it's the you has this, whatever we want to call free will, and the mind, the ego
is just doing, it's just talking.
Wait, no. It's the opposite. I actually think it's like the mind and the ego that has free will, because it's the mind. They're like making the decisions, taking the actions, and the you, the consciousness, is just being. Maybe there isn't a free will. The you, the consciousness, maybe doesn't have free will.
Well, the part that we were talking about before we went to that level, that's exactly what I was referring to, is that when the ego and the mind starts to chatter, it doesn't necessarily have, it's just talking. There isn't necessarily a free will. Then you're just paying attention.
But I actually think that does have free will, because...
Well, it can also be lost, though. Like, yeah, it can be removed.
I suppose.
So it's just an entity that's been created, right? It's the masquerade. It's the self-concept that you create is where the identity comes from. And that's what gets the mind talking. And that's what gets the ego excited. And it gives you a sense of morality and you pay attention to it. Nothing wrong. It's just happening part of our society, right? So my thing is like, just go even deeper. Because I know a lot of people like on this that are listening to this like to go even deeper. And again, I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. I'm just posing the question that is going on in my mind right now about this. Like, even the deeper inspirations that I get, or while I'm giving a speech or talking to somebody, and all of a sudden I say something and I'm like, man, I never even said that before. I'm like, where did that come from? And I'm, look, we could bring people in there and they'd say, it's coming from your mind. Let me do the electrical signals that are doing this. And somebody say, well, it's coming from the source of consciousness. And I would say, great. Well, either all, one of those is all the same thing as where it's coming from. But is that being dictated by something that's large? Not like a video game. Somebody's out there and say, press A and go do this. But like, is there something that's a larger source that it, we have this illusion of free will? I'm not saying we're in like a, again, I'm not going down that, that path of saying we're in a video game.
But is the universe, let's just say, for example, is this whole, we know there's multiple universes.
So let me go back to, I've used the example as a Bunsen burner, right? Before, and like last episode.
Don't
we did
love
as
that
well
one,
too.
But yeah.
Why don't you love that? It's like really good. It's a perfect analogy, by the way. Okay. So you just learn to love it.
I like the ocean one better.
Okay. Well, the ocean one, but let's just take the example of the Bunsen burner, right? Like one, okay. So let's just go back through what we did. You have an, you have a one source flame. Mm-hmm. And you have an individual flame. Mm-hmm. So just follow me on this, because you, then you're going to really like this analogy. At least this is, I can see this clearly in my head, and hopefully it makes sense. The individual flame we've talked about is like the individual part of you having that individual experience coming up, doing whatever it's doing. You have the individual experience, but it's all part of the same source. Who turned on the flame to have an individual experience?
I did.
No, you didn't. You didn't make yourself. So like, I'm just saying, you see what I mean? Like who, what's the source of the flame that then
well,
all
in
this,
the Bunsen burner analogy, the kid in science class turns on the Bunsen burner.
Come on. We're not like in science, but you get my point. Like go be like abstractly think about that for a second, which is what sapiens can do. Like who actually is the source of the flame that's providing you that experience and that experience that you're having, you go, well, I have all the free will in the world. And I'm going, yeah, do you?
Well, okay, go back to what I was saying for a second, or trying
go
to
back
say.
To Bunsen burner?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know enough about like science in terms of the universe, but in the universe that we live in, let's say it's going, it has it's got a lifespan. The universe has a lifespan of, let's just say 100 billion years.
Yeah.
Cool. So within that 100 billion years, in the video game analogy, you said that maybe it is already all there.
Yeah.
And within the time span that the universe is going to be in existence. And then remember those choose your own adventure books? Did you ever read those?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Like that, similar to that video game analogy, like it's,
you choose your adventure while you're here.
Everything was already in the book and you just picked which one you wanted to. Is that free will? Or like you said, is the universe already going to be however the universe is going to be? And then you just get to like, you know,
well, I think there's
little choices along the way.
I think the universe is going to be exactly what it's be. That's why we go back to the 200% life. Mm-hmm. The external world, which is like this experience that the universe gets to experience itself having, is going to do its thing, right? Like the weather pattern is going to be what the weather pattern is, regardless of how you're thinking about it, where you are, what you're not. Like the weather in Vermont
is
different than Texas.
But it is so cyclical though, because what humans do does affect the weather, and then the weather then affects civilization.
Sure. Yeah. And longer, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying right now, right? Like there's, but you're also thinking this in terms of Earth. There's billions of galaxies that are out there that are all part of the same source.
Correct.
So getting larger than that.
I'm not going to live in that one.
Well, that's kind of my point though.
Now.
Like there's, we're already, science is going out there with the Hubble telescope, seeing things that happened 13 billion years ago, literally a photo from something that happened 13 billion years ago.
Right.
My point is like, we've been here for what, couple hundred thousand years at best as a human sapien. The world, even Earth, has been around as best guess for 4.5 billion years. There's a photo from 13 billion years. So at some point we just didn't even exist and the consciousness was still here. So then we come into the small Earth, and we come into the even smaller segment of you having this personal experience to go, I have all the free will in the world. And I go, I don't know. Do you? It's like, where did this inspiration come from to create and be you? Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't, or even like sometimes when we would use that context in a conversation around like, well, you have all this intelligence, and they go, well, I read books. And I go, I'm not that you read books. I mean, who gave you the intelligence to actually be able to comprehend at that level of books, or who gave me the ability to be able to see larger pictures more. But when it comes to seeing something in the middle of the fridge, I can't see it. I'm serious. Like I have an ability that I can see the whole picture of things, but it comes to like the small, but yeah. I didn't create that.
Yeah. But I think, yes, I agree with
that. Somebody would say, well, nature did that. And I go, great. Then I'm not saying nature like that. Nature did, but nature also created the billions of other things before we were even here.
Correct. I don't think anyone would agree with that.
So then how the hell do we come down here and have this little individual experience of free will?
You don't feel like you have any choices about what you do in your life.
No, I do. I'm just having a big self inquiry. I like to bring this podcast to my own self inquiry.
To me, free will just means that you're not just like sitting on a canoe and just letting it take you down the river.
I think that's an easy pass to get out of this conversation.
No, free will is that you have a paddle and you are controlling.
Yeah, but where does the inspiration give you to go which direction?
That is another layer of it that I don't necessarily know, but the free will in the sun.
Well, that's what I'm saying. In one essence, there is, everyone would argue, of course I have free will.
Yeah.
And you can't deny that.
And you'd be
that.
Like, oh, well, where did I get the paddle from? Who gave me the paddle? Where did it,
well, like,
what tree,
you change your tonation to make
gave,
it sound like it's not as cool.
What gave me the paddle?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. There is a truth to that, that everyone, you're like, oh, of course I have free will. Yeah. I'm just trying to get everyone to deep and deep and deeper self inquiry.
Of course I do. It's,
well, because
choices.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
But where did those choices come from? And then where did the inspiration come from those choices? And then where did that come from? Just like the fact that that tree, we could trace back 13 billion years how that thing was created outside. And would you call that free will?
Free will is the capacity for humans. Free will is a specific term for humans.
And humans have defined it.
Yes, but I don't think animals have free will. Or
you don't?
No.
So an animal doesn't make its choices where it wants to go. An animal doesn't have a choice in terms of what food it has?
Well, I guess that's the whole argument. No, like, no. Like, a leopard is not going to all of a sudden become a vegetarian.
Totally. That's a physical thing. Like, just
correct.
Like, you're probably not.
So that's that's not free will.
Well, I could do the same thing with humans.
Yeah,
there's certain things that animals can eat that if a human ate them, they would die. So you can't use that argument.
But a human could choose to eat it.
Well, so can an animal.
I don't think an animal would say, I know I'm going to die if I eat that, and I am going to go eat it anyway.
We have the ability to abstractly think things through. Absolutely.
Yes.
I agree with that. But I think that's part of the suffering problem, is that we're actually trying to be something that we're not, given that we each have an own nature. I think what people are yearning for is to actually remove that part of them of trying to be something they're not, so they can go actually experience it. This is ultimately why, and people will have an argument for this 100%. I don't think one health diet system works for everybody, which is why I'm a big fan of, like, some people probably shouldn't eat meat and some people probably should. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what else is, that's as simple as that. Right. Mm-hmm. I do know that everyone should probably not eat processed food. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody would agree or disagree with that.
Yeah.
But to say to somebody that you can't have meat would be like telling it, because you are a human body is an animal body. Let's just be clear. So there's the instinctual side of a human to eat certain, right? Like, you just, those things. So, but we have the ability to say, oh, I'm going to go eat this.
But we can override it because we are a human.
Yes. And we have that free will to do so, but follow me in this, but where did the inspiration come from to make that choice? All I'm saying, I agree with everything you're saying.
I don't know.
And that's my point. That's the thing that I'm doing self inquiry on right now. It's like, so I get, like, I can see all this process happen in my mind. I see the emotions. I can see all that. I'm past that, right?
Yeah.
I can see all that clear as day. But now all of a sudden I have, like, there's like a deeper inspiration that comes from consciousness, which I love, by the way. It's a wonderful feeling. I wake up in much more acceptance and peace and love, and it grows every single day in my inner world. That's exactly what my aim in my life is, to do that. Have a wonderful inner experience and then contributing to the outer world. So I'm not taking anything away from there. I'm just saying is, I don't know if that's truly free will, why we're acting that way.
And I'm totally with you on that. And I guess my only counterpoint would be, just because you have that insight, you still can either choose to act on it or not. And that is the free will part.
Yeah, you can, but some things I would argue that you can't.
Like what?
Like when Eckhart Tolle said he had this, this is the first thing that popped in my mind, was he said when he wrote his book, he had this, he sat with it for long, and he said that if he didn't write his book, he said he literally would have died. And that wasn't like he said the calling.
Yeah.
The calling was so strong that if he didn't write this book, he would have died.
And I say that's still a choice.
Okay.
Because he could have chosen not to write the
book,
and then
he
would have died.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not here
to
debate one way or another. I'm just here to actually bring the question.
Yeah.
And so, maybe it was his choice to do it.
It was so strong that it probably did influence him to make that decision. No doubt about that.
And I think that...
But he could have chosen also not to.
And I get what you're saying from the black and white standpoint.
Yeah.
But also, let's let's throw away that for a second and realize because most 99.9999 carried out would never override that feeling.
Yes, I don't.
So let's just talk in the practical, how people
that
currently live their life.
That doesn't mean that they don't have free will just because they don't use it.
But what if they don't even have the other thought of not to do it?
By the very fact that they had the fact that, that he gave that analogy, if I didn't do this, then I would have done that. He obviously had both thoughts at it now,
but maybe at the time he didn't. I don't know, right? I'm not going to say specific on him. I'm just saying, let's just throw out that I get what you're saying too. But I think you can also see the other side of this is that, that like what happens though, if, right? Like that, like, okay, like that's why like 99.9% carried out are walking around being influenced in their thinking that they're making the decision. So the first layer in this is that first mindfulness, waking up, whatever term you want to use, being authentic, right? All those things are saying the same thing in the way I'm describing it right now. I know there's some differences in there. We could get into that later. But what they're really saying is you just wake up and not listening to that voice telling you what to do in your life anymore based on your past experiences and different things and some scars. I'm not saying you can't use those tools to help you prepare a better presentation or remember something or to drive to your house. Cause like people sometimes will say, well, I need that to be able to figure out how to get to my house. That's memory. That's not what I'm talking about. You recalling memory is totally different. We actually talked about that a couple episodes ago, but what I'm saying is most 99% of people are walking around listening to a voice and based on emotions that are happening and based on that voice that's inside their head, communicating to themselves and they're paying attention to it, that they have this illusion that they have free will. But most people, and again, I know the argument you're going to say, I'm just saying what's the practicality of what's actually happening for most people. And they're walking around in what we call unconscious because they're just being influenced to the nth degree by their emotions and their mind. And so that's the first layer, right? That's the first layer. The second one then is like, once you get past that, then it's okay, well now I'm being, you know, it's like when people would say, I'm being called to do something, right? Like there's a lot of people that have, whether that's Oprah to Ade Shanti to Michael Singer, like I'm here called to do this thing. Okay, great. You're being called. Now who dictated that, right? Like, I don't know. Is that actual free will? And you're going to say yes, because you still have the choice not to do it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think people should self-inquiry on it and think really deeply about it because
yeah, I mean, I'm gonna think more about it.
And I would do less thinking and just do, like, when I say the word sit, like I don't want to sit with it. I mean, like, just observe. So you're not thinking about it. You're actually, does that make sense? Like, you're not really thinking about it. You're just observing the process. And that's how, like, a lot of these things come in for me. It's like, the deeper you get, and everyone that's listening is doing the work, that's, you keep peeling back these layers and something becomes clear. And then the layer that you're working on, though, is what you start having self-inquiry on. So it's like, that's kind of, I see this, the process of spirituality unfolding to have a better inner experience. You keep on peeling these things. And as you unpeel them, things become clearer. And then you start having these deeper self-inquiries about the deeper level of like, what is that? Like, what is the nature of these things? And it's just fascinating for people. I think, if anything, people can just, the first layer of this is that mind, that voice is dictating 99% of your actions. And you may have like less than 1% of actually things. Now you could say
you
that
you still get to choose whether or not you act on those thoughts.
I agree with you to a certain degree. In the beginning you do, but once you become the emotion, I don't think you have any choice. When you are really angry, you're not thinking I have a choice anymore. You're just acting the anger out until you come back and then
maybe,
you realize.
But maybe not. I mean, no, not always. I don't think that's true.
So
unless you're maybe a child and you don't have the ability to control yourself and you get mad and you hit your sibling, as an adult, you don't do that just because you're mad.
Well, you end up suffering inside from it, though, because
you're
paying attention.
Acting.
Well, hold on. You're acting not in the physical world, but you're acting in the inner world.
Well, that's not necessarily what free will is.
Well, free will is about thinking. Free
will is
How
about,
can you say that's not free will
free
when it all
will
starts inside?
Is making decisions and performing actions.
The decision part.
Okay.
Where is that? Is that outside?
No, it's inside, but you're
Exactly.
Yeah. It always starts inside. So just because you're mad doesn't mean you have the free will to stop being mad if you don't want to be mad anymore.
I just think that people get caught in emotion and it happens inside first, even if they're not showing it outwardly. They're now listening to that voice tell them all the things they're doing, and they no longer have free will not paying attention to that. Not for that moment.
They always have free will to choose to whether or not they pay attention to it or not. It might be very, very difficult, but it's still there if they wanted to change it. Free will. If they didn't have free will, it would be that they have no option.
No. I'm not saying they don't have the option when they're conscious. They're clear. I'm saying when you become unconscious and you become an emotion or you become your thoughts, during that time, there may have been a moment before that you had free will, and there may be a moment after you come out of that you have free will. But while you're on that ride,
I don't know if I've ever experienced that before.
Yes, you have. I've watched you over the years sit in my office and be the emotion in that, like, and just absolutely and play that out 100%.
Yes, but I would never have made.
But you're still suffering inside first.
That's not free will.
Well, yeah, it is the free will, because now you're paying attention to the voice talk negatively about you.
That has nothing to do with free will.
Yes, it does.
No.
Yes, because it starts inside, right? So if you're paying, listen to this, if you're paying attention to a thought inside, whether you act it out, you're choosing to pay attention to that voice derail you and cause suffering. That is the
first. But that is free will, because you're choosing to pay attention to it. You just said it.
Yes, you are. You're choosing to pay attention to it. And what I'm saying is once you choose to pay attention to it, you can't get off that until you have some consciousness.
By the very definition that you made a decision to pay attention to it, that is free will.
I know. I'm not denying that. I'm actually supporting what you're saying.
Yeah.
You make the decision of free will to pay attention to it.
Yes.
100% agree. But once you're paying attention to it for even 10 seconds, you ever driven down the road, by the way, and you forgot where you're even driving?
Are you saying that I don't think free will is a moment to moment thing. I think free will is a concept.
It's a
decision. Do you have free will or not?
Well, now we're just talking about the semantics about what free will actually is. But you don't get my point. Have you ever driven to the office?
Sure.
And been on autopilot? So when you were,
I still have free will to decide what to do and where to go.
But when did you realize that you weren't paying attention to the road?
I don't know. Let's say 10 minutes.
Exactly. During that 10 minutes,
still had free will.
Maybe by definition, but you didn't have the free
will. I maybe was unconsciously
driving. That's my point. That's what I'm saying.
I think they're two separate things. Conscious and unconscious is not free will.
I think it's important for people to hear, though, like when they're going on this journey, that like when you have that free will to make that moment, that willpower to not engage in the emotion.
Sure.
But the minute you engage in that, during that drive, you can't come out of that until you actually gain consciousness again. And I don't mean physical conscious, meaning that you realize, like, oh shit, I just completely was driving down the road and just didn't even realize I was paying attention to my thoughts so much. Because once you're glued to it, until you're unglued, you can't have more free. That's all my point I'm saying. You don't have to agree with me. I'm just saying that like there is a point where you may not have the ability because you're so tied to it. I think that's where most people live, unfortunately. And it doesn't mean about the action that they're taking outside, because if they're having an inner world experience that sucks, that is worse than the outside action.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, it's like you're choosing, using your free will of your consciousness to pay attention to a thought.
Sure. Yeah.
So now it's an inside problem, and then it manifests outside. So that's it. I just want to be right now.
I know. And I'm like, I'm dying to say like one last thing.
I know. It's funny. But so again, so that's just think about free will from this perspective. And honestly, just watch the process unfold. That's all I can say. Don't take anything that Hallie and I say for truth. I don't think anybody ever should for anything that we say, because we don't know what we don't know, and I'm comfortable not knowing. However, this is an entire pointer for you to kind of have your own self-inquiry and to watch the process unfold for yourself. Hey everybody, before you leave today, Hallie and I wanted to thank everyone who has left us a review. It really does make a huge impact in helping us get this podcast into the hands of other conscious leaders. Here's what Sean had to say.
Sean from Albuquerque says, I have listened to Business Meets Spirituality from the beginning, and there are so many important principles and lessons on how self-leadership precedes leadership. In order to grow your organization or business, you have to lead yourself first. And I have learned how to go inward in order to achieve the level of growth I must obtain in order to grow my business. This is a must listen for any type of business owner.
Thanks, Sean, for leaving us a review. And by the way, please let us know what you like about this podcast or what you would like to see more of by leaving us a review wherever you listen to our show.